Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing. Coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. One second. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time. And I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show, which is we are here live on Facebook. We're live on Facebook and catching a playback on YouTube and also the podcast, which is broadcast around the globe. Now, the first thing we want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to go into right now what the topic says. 1.5 million jobless claims reported as the mortgage applications increase. We're going to talk about the jobless claims. We got a new jobless claims number that came out today. Jobless claims came in at 1.5 million. We're going to talk about the jobless claims. We're going to talk about the mortgage application increase. We're going to talk about why the mortgage application increased, how to profit, of course, and then we're going to do a recap of what happened. So as you're coming in live, don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And feel free to say hello and tell where you're from. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump straight into it. First thing we're going to do, we're going to go straight into the jobless claims. The jobless claims, ladies and gentlemen, we get the jobless claims report every Thursday. Every third Thursday, we get an unemployment insurance claim. These are people who walked in and said, hey, they filed for unemployment benefits, essentially. They're saying, I don't have a job. I'm filing for unemployment benefits. This is the way they're able to do that, right? And they keep track of this every year, not every year, but every week, and they put this report out on Thursday. This is an indicator which lets us know what is unemployment numbers going to look like. We get new unemployment numbers on the first Friday of every month. So right there, this is why the jobless claim is important. So we had a jobless claim report come out today. The unemployment number was at 14% that we got last week or the week before last, which ran up the stock market. But people pay attention to the jobless claims. Why is it important? Because as we see jobless claims start to decrease, that could be a sign of an economical rebound. So if people don't have jobs, that stops everything. Nobody's going to buy a house. Nobody's going to be buying a car. Nobody's going to buy a new iPhone. Nobody's going to be on Amazon all day. So that's a good indicator where your economy is going. It's a leading indicator telling you where the economy is going. So we're going to look at that today. So I'm going to share my screen here, and we're going to go to the Department of Labor. Before we do that, we're going to talk about, who's that, Zachariah? Okay, Marilyn is in the house. Nice to see you here, Marilyn, live. But today, what we're going to do, we're going to go over to the Department of Labor, and we're going to look at the jobless claims report, and we're going to see exactly what the jobless claims reports look like. Then we're going to go into the mortgages. All right, so let me share my screen here. This is coming directly from the Department of Labor's website. All right, so this is their report right here. This is the news release came out today, right? This is a news release that came out today, June 18, Thursday, 8:30 this morning. New jobless claims report. In the week, pretty much what it's going to say, 1.5 million. They had about $58,000 jobless claim decrease. So 58,000 less people claimed for unemployment versus last week. So that could be seen as a decline. But it's not a strong decline. So right here, the unemployment numbers, ladies and gentlemen, you can get this from the DOL.gov. This is the DOL.gov. Department of Labor.gov. So you can see this news release, and right here is going to tell you, it's going to break down and tell you on the jobless claim. The highlights that I saw was we saw a drop of 58,000. We also saw that the number one state was California, followed by Massachusetts, followed by Oklahoma that had the most unemployment. So now this is going to tell you here. It even breaks down the industry. It even talks about the federal government industry or whatnot. Federal government, who filed last week, who filed this week. It broke down the states, too. The states are in here, too. Where are the states? Did I miss it? Did I scan by it? Oh, there we go. No, that's not it. There we go. Here we go, right here. Right here, you get all the states. How many people filed for unemployment in which particular states? How is this important? Maybe you can look at your particular states or whatnot. But overall, from this, I just got that 1.5 million people filed for Unemployment, of course, going on with the pandemic, 58,000 less than what we had the last time. That's kind of tapering off. Nothing too excited there. Exciting there. Not a big turnaround that everybody was kind of expecting. But we're going to go a little bit further. That's it for the most part for the jobs claims. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm teaching you guys and girls how to fish. Notice I'm not going to what somebody said or what we heard. I'm showing you guys and girls how to go to DOL.gov and see this for yourself. Now, the next thing we're going to get into, which you guys and girls tuned in for, we're going to look at mortgage application increase. What does that mean, right? Pretty self-explanatory. A mortgage, people buying houses. Why are people buying houses? Why is that a big thing? That could be an indicator. First, before you can buy a house, the first thing most people, unless you're buying with cash, most people apply, you know, put a mortgage application in. When more people put in applications, what does that mean? More people put in applications, that means the economy could be doing well. You could be seeing a boom in the real estate market, right? You could be seeing people purchase more houses. And why are people purchasing more houses? Because, you know, as you guys and girls, and if you're tuning to me, I really was suspecting the real estate market to take a decline with the pandemic. But it seemed like since we got this civil unrest going on, people just kind of like forgot about the unemployment, all the good stuff like that. So the real estate market is actually now looking to head into a good direction. So now we're going to head over to the MBA.org. This is the Mortgage Bankers Association. We're going to head over to the MBA.org, and we're going to see their latest reports on the real estate market. And this is a report they put out today or yesterday. I think it's today, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to share my screen for the people that are catching this live, and I'm going to read it to everybody that's probably catching the playback. So right here, this came out yesterday. Was today the 17th? Let me double check. I don't know why. I think today's the 18th. Yeah, this was yesterday. So this came out yesterday, right? So yesterday, the mortgage application increased in the latest MBA weekly survey. So right here, they're telling you, first line, mortgage applications increased 8% in 1 week, according to the data from the Mortgage Bankers Association, Weekly Mortgage Association, right? So now, they're talking about a bunch of people we're going to get into it a little bit. You had the refinancing, a bunch of people refinance, a bunch of new home buyers, and you're asking yourself, what happened? Well, why did this happen? Right here, you're seeing the purchase index increase by 4% in 1 week. So the purchase index is an index that tracks how many houses are being purchased. So what's the uptick of people purchasing? Why are people refinancing? What is going on, right? Purchasing application increased to the highest level in over 11 years and for the ninth consecutive week. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see this is not Prince Dyke saying, this is what's coming right out of the report. Purchasing applications increased to the highest level in over 11 years and for the ninth consecutive week, right? The housing market continues to experience a release of unrealized pent-up demand from earlier spring. This is what they're saying. They're saying that people who was going to buy a house and who was thinking about getting a house, everybody kind of slowed down and got scared and was like, whoa, what am I going to do? I don't know if I'm going to buy. Now people are like, hey, you know what? People are coming back to the market that they, you had this pent up, you know, like a rubber band, you know, the COVID-19 was kind of pushing it down. This rubber band is kind of letting it go. So you're seeing an increase in people rushing back into buying houses, according to the mortgage bankers application, right? They're looking at the purchasing index. They're looking to refinance, right? So why is this happening? They had a 10% increase in people refinance. They have a 10 people are running back to buy houses, right? So this is coming directly from the Mortgage Bankers Association telling you people are buying houses, right? Now, the next thing we're going to do is you got to ask the question, all right, that's great, Prince, but why? Why are mortgage applications increasing? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you why. This goes back to something called monetary policies. Also, get your investor show cup in a YouTube link. It's the only way to read financial reports. Ever since I started drinking this out of this investor show cup, reading financial reports became a breeze. Ah, everything tastes so much better out of investor show cup. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, why did this happen? Y'all remember me talking about monetary policies. How does monetary policies affect things that are going on? What happened to interest rates? What did Jerome Powell do with interest rates? Jerome Powell's the Fed chair. What did the federal government do with interest rates around about March? Part of the stimulus package was to drop interest rates to where they didn't even exist anymore. So interest rates are at an all-time low. What does that mean? When interest rates are low, that means that I can now afford a house. Think about it. Just in January, it could be a house for $500,000. I can't afford it because the interest rates would probably be about 4% or whatever. I can't afford it. It's way above my mortgage that I can afford. But now that same house that's $500,000, if the interest rates decrease to 2%, guess what? I can now afford that big house that I always wanted, right? So part of the stimulus package was to lower interest rates. By lowering interest rates, it made real estate more attractive. People who couldn't afford before can now afford, right? Mortgage rates have lowered. The second thing would happen, they had a spike of 10% increase of people refinancing. Why are you thinking people are refinancing? If you bought your house last year, you bought it at 3% or 4% or whatnot. Now, guess what? You can get it for 2%. That can make the difference of paying about $500, $600 to $800 per month. That's why people are refinancing, because interest rates are at a historic and an all-time low. Also, I forgot to mention in that report, they also said they had a decrease in ARM mortgages. What are ARM? Those are the adjustable rate mortgages. Why would you want to get an adjustable rate mortgages when interest rates are at an all-time low? If you got an AP, if you got an ARM, that means that you only got one place to go. Interest rates are going to go back up. I mean, they can't stay low. They have to gradually go back up. So guess what? That is creating a demand within the housing market. People who couldn't afford before, they can now afford more house. Less interest, more house. This is why you saw the purchase index increase to an 11-year high. Also, people who were skeptical, who sit on the sideline of buying a market, not buying a market, but buying a house, they sit on the market, but now they're coming back to the market because they're like, oh, we're kind of figuring out the COVID-19. We're kind of figuring out the pandemic. You know, people are learning to cope with it. It's not going to go away. It's not going to disappear, but people are learning to cope with it. It just seemed like when the riots broke out, everybody just kind of forgot about COVID-19, right? I said, man, look at all those people violating social distancing, right? You go to Chipotle, you got to stand in line. You got to be 10 feet behind each other. You got to have a mask and all the other good stuff like that. But I'm like, well, people are down the road, you know, hugging each other, right? But anyway, it's becoming more normalized of what the pandemic is. People don't fear it no more like it was a month or two ago. So people are not coming back to the market. Realtors, the market found a way to adjust, because before, realtors stopped showing houses because of COVID-19. Sellers didn't want buyers in their house because of COVID-19. All this stuff was going on because of COVID-19. Now people are feeling calm to get ready to come back to the market. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, how monetary policies, you have to pay attention to things like that. When the federal government lowered interest rates, it was a way to stimulate the economy. It made money easy to borrow. So if you want to go buy that house now, you want to go buy that car, you got two things going on. You got Hertz is going bankrupt trying to sell their cars. Then you got the federal government with low interest rates. That's a perfect marriage to create a bull in the economy, in real estate. So now you're seeing real estate is a lagging indicator. I was looking at real estate. I saw everybody losing their jobs. Unemployment was going up. I said, man, this is going to transition to real estate. But next thing you know, we slammed the brakes last month. I thought, we all thought, unemployment was going to go from 13% to 20%. It only went from 13% to 14%, slamming the brakes on unemployment. Now we could potentially be seeing more people getting back into work, going back to work. We're seeing Apple is opening up stores. McDonald's is opening up stores. We're reopening up some locations and things like that. So those are things you're going to look at, right? Now, that's good, Prince. You told us all this other good stuff. You told us about the jobless claims. You told us about the mortgage application increase. You told us why it happened. How can I profit? I'm an investor. How can I profit from this? All right, no problem. The first way, if you see a potential bull coming, first you have monetary policies in place. The government made money very easy to borrow. The government made people go out and make the real estate market blossom again. It made things cheap. It made everybody want to refinance. It made everybody want to buy. You call every real estate agent and say, is it a good time to buy? Oh, of course. Interest rates are at an all-time low, right? Thank you, Mr. Dre James, for checking in. Kev, what's going on, Kevin? Kevin, you said RIP DRV. Yes, DRV. DRV is a bearish real estate market, right? That was something I used to hold on to. I made a nice little piece of change off of DRV, right? And DRV is when you expect in the real estate market to go down, right? But it came a time when I started to realize, okay, the economy is kind of coming back. People kind of buying more houses. All of the stuff is starting to happen. I got away from the DRV. It's nothing wrong with shifting the way you invest. That's what an investor does. Like right now, I may hold Uber, right? But as soon as Uber start to do things that's not on the path, I'm going to drop you. I'm going to go somewhere else. But that's called being smart and being an investor, staying in tune of what's going on. Most people don't even know that real estate is having a bubble, having a boom, because they don't read reports. You don't read reports that come out. You don't look at the purchase index of houses. How have interest rates? What is the refinance index looking like? Right? Why is everybody refinancing? Why is everybody buying houses? What's causing this jump? Right? How to profit? You're going to do the opposite of DRV. You're going to do the opposite of DRV. DRV, Delta Romeo Victor, that is on the bearish side. If you want to get on the bullish side and really take some leverage, that's when you go to URE. Right? You go to URE to what you call it? You want to be more conservative? You get XLRE. This is the real estate sector. So you can invest into the entire sector. The next thing you can do when you invest into the entire sector, you can look inside of that sector, find the biggest company in that sector in real estate, which I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I should have did a little bit more research before I came on the show. But you can find, maybe it might be a Remax, maybe it might be whatever company. You can find whoever the biggest real estate company in that sector. Look at the top two or three and start to use your financial language, not language, but knowledge, and start to pick out, right? All right, so Kev said, are REITs considered bullish in a booming real estate market? The thing about REITs right now is people are kind of looking at REITs, but people don't understand what REITs are real estate investment trusts. Real estate investment trusts, most of them are investing into commercial property, right? And we all know commercial property is not looking too pretty right now. Commercial property is things like, look at Walmart, look at Lowe's, look at Home Depot. A lot of them are leasing those things from REITs. So, yes, Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and Target, they're benefiting from it. But look at restaurants. Look at Applebee's. Look at Denny's and Applebee's and food franchises. They're not doing so well. Some of them, are they going to default? Some REITs probably own some malls. How do you think the malls have been doing during this time frame? So some people, they look at REITs. It's a real estate investment trust. I would be very skeptical on one that's following commercial real estate, right? Because commercial real estate, everybody's working from home. Now you got companies like Google and Facebook and Amazon that's like, hey, you know what? We kind of like this working at home thing. How about we downsize and have people work at home? It could start that. That's been a big talks of hurting REITs, real estate investment trusts. I wouldn't get too crazy about it, not on the commercial side. I would probably look into something more on the residential side, because with these interest rates being so low, people are going to look to people who already got credit, pretty decent jobs. They are looking to buy. Like in this latest report, they said the VA loan decreased. I think FHA decreased. I didn't get all the way deep into it to see who were the people that was purchasing. But the purchasing index, maybe investors are purchasing single family homes and looking to rent them out, do whatever they want to do, right? For myself, I'm in the process of closing on a home myself, right? And it had nothing to do with interest rates. I was looking to buy a house anyway. I was trying to wait until the market crashed, but it didn't happen last year. And so I said, forget about it. I'll do it this year. Then I thought the pandemic was going to do it. I'm like, the pandemic is not doing it. Crap, let me just jump on in here, right? But I'm looking for the long-term anyway. It's not an investment property or anything like that. It's a single-family home. So congrats on that. But anyway, that's the way you can look at it. You know what? Let's take a look. We got a little time. Let's do a little fishing. What I'm going to pull up for you, ladies and gentlemen, now, I'm going to pull up. Let me see. Can I pull it up for you here? We're going to think about how can you look inside of Let's go to finance. How can you look inside of the real estate market? You know? Okay, that's weird. One second. I'm pulling up on my other screen, right? Because we all know the bull will win in the long term. XLRE. I'm going to go to Yahoo Finance. Shout out to everybody over at Yahoo Finance. And I don't think it's going to have it on here that I want to look up. Oh, let's look at holdings. There we go. Boom. All right. All right. So I'm going to share this with you guys and girls right here. So this is how you can look inside of the real estate industry. Boom. XLRE tracks the real estate sector. The top company that it holds is American Tower, AMT. I've never heard of them. Crown Castle. I think I've seen Crown Castle before. I've seen pretty much none of these companies, but they don't need to be known. So let's look at the biggest company that they have here, tracked by the XLRE, right? AMT. Why is it pulling this out? Okay. American Tower. Oh, it's a REIT. So going back to what Kev asked earlier, this is a REIT. Now my question is, what type of REIT is this? What does it hold? You know? Holders. I want to see. So here we go. Here are the top institutional investors. Vanguard, all these good stuff like that. Own them. BlackRock, of course, they own the world. But let's take a look at, I want to see, what does American Towers own? It sounds like it's commercial. It sounds like a tower, but that's very idiotic to say because you could just look it up. But I don't want to look it up over here, right? I don't want to look it up on Yahoo to look deeper into them. But this is a start. This is a REIT, right? Somebody asked about it earlier. You can look into this particular company to see what it's owned, see what it's on, what it owns. And the more you drill down, the higher your profits can be. So if you start off at the top, XLRE, right? If you start off with XLRE, guess what's going to happen when you start off with XLRE? You're going to make less money, right? Versus if you drill down and found a company like an AMT that could potentially go into a bull. Let's look at AMT and see, what is this 52-week high? Okay. It's kind of towards it, 174 to 269. How has it performed this year? It's up overall this year. The AMT, this is how you can find little bulls. So first, you want to get involved with real estate. You can go with the leverage side of the house and go with URE, but you can drill down inside of XLRE. You can grab that sector and you can drill down some more and look at companies like a American Tower Corporation. It's a REIT. What type of REIT it is, I'm not sure. I have to look into it a little bit more. But if it was holding a lot of commercial property, would it sound like it does? I would be a little bit more skeptical of that because I'm kind of concerned with commercial properties. How would they fare up in the future? You know, because it's not about how much money you make. It's who is your customer? Who are your customers, right? But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a quick number five, our recap. So today we talked about the jobless claims, 1.5 million jobless claims, right? We talked about jobless claims. Second, we talked about jobless claims, how they kind of stayed the same. We talked about what jobless claims were. Then we got into mortgage applications increase. Why didn't more people apply for mortgages? We looked up that. Then number three, we talked about why mortgage applications increase. So number two, we talked about mortgage applications increase. Then number three, we talked about why they increase. Number four, we talked about how to profit from a potential bull in the real estate market as the economy looks to open back up, as people become more optimistic about the economy. But we all know, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about how monetary policies play a major role. This is how monetary policies play a major role. Lowering interest rates, it does a lot. That's why the Fed is like the most powerful man in the world. He can lower interest rates. He can make my house cheaper. He can make me want to refinance. He can make me want to run out and buy, right? Well, I won't say he can make you, but he would make it more advertising for you to run out and buy. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude today's episode. I thank you guys and girls for tuning in. And until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else you see me doing crazy around the globe. My name is Prince Dykes. This is the Investor Show. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. Thank you.